Thank you. Please be seated. Okay, so now we can go back to the topic, life perspective lenses. Okay, let's start off with a story. On a busy street in Hong Kong, passersby rushed about, not noticing an elderly man holding a donation box, standing there asking for donations. A young couple was passing by. The lady saw the elderly man and felt sorry for him. She was about to pull out some cash, give it to him, when her boyfriend stopped her. He cautioned, "Don't be silly. How do you know that he's not a fake? Many people in Hong Kong use this pathetic trick to swindle money. I bet you this is part of an organized fraud." With that, he pulled his girlfriend away to prevent him from being duped. Now, have you ever observed something similar in the area or on the streets where you live? Anyone have seen something like this? Yes. Now, from this incident, we can see that the couple have very different attitudes towards the elderly man. The lady simply saw an elderly man in need and was happy to help. But the boyfriend, on the other hand, behaved very differently. He had this knee-jerk, on-guard reaction, careful not to be swindled. Same scene, same event. When we see things in a different light, there can be huge differences, so much so that the result can be complete opposites. This shows that our view of the world can determine how we respond and behave in the world. And this view is like a pair of perspective lenses. This kind of lenses that we put on, or the kind of lenses that we put on, can determine the kind of people we are going to be. And this is because these lenses not only mold the world we see, teaching us how to understand what's going on around us, and also trigger our response to those events indirectly, driving or even controlling our behavior and the course of actions. Therefore, it is so important for us to ask ourselves, what kind of perspective lenses do we want to wear? How are the ones that we are wearing now helping us navigate through this journey called life? And what will the final result be? And this morning, we are trying to explore the life of the prophetess Deborah to see how one's worldview affects one's conduct, the course of action, or even affect the whole life. And this morning's scripture is about Deborah. God chose Deborah to be the judge at that time to save the Israelites oppressed by the Canaanite king Jabin. Because they rebelled, the Israelites rebelled against God and did evil things in the eyes of Jehovah. But the most special thing about Deborah was, as a judge, she was the only female judge in the whole book of Judges. And she was described as the model judge who had no complaint and had zero flaws. What made Deborah to be such a model judge among them? Let's see. Actually, there are two great heroes in the story of Deborah. One, of course, was our protagonist, Deborah, who was a prophetess at that time and a judge raised up by God. And the other one was Barak, the marshal of Israel. Now, however, based on the social system and the national ethos at that time, the judge that God should raise should be Barak. Because in Old Testament times, it was a patriarchal society. Everything was dominated by men, and women were only regarded as men's accessories and were governed by men. Fortunately, we are not there. We are today's women, so we don't have to be under all those rules. The rules are, in the Ten Commandments, the wife was regarded as one of the items owned by a man and was in the same category as house, ox, or donkey. In Old Testament time, if a man had any dissatisfaction with his wife, he was free to divorce her. Therefore, no matter in the family or in the society, women were treated unequally, and they had no identity or status in the whole social system. But God's actions are often so surprising. He raised Deborah, the prophetess, instead of Barak, the marshal. Why? The text doesn't say, but we can learn a bit based on how the two of them reacted to the battle with Sisera, the Canaanite general. From the appointment of Barak as marshal to the end of the entire battle, Deborah showed great confidence and knew exactly what to do. She summoned Barak and told him, Jehovah God commanded him to lead 10,000 Israelites up to Mount Tabor to attack the Canaanite army. She also said, God would hand over to Barak the Canaanite general Sisera and also the whole army of Sisera. Basically, Deborah was telling Barak, you go and fight the battle. It is going to be a sure win. How did Barak respond? Barak said, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. These words showed Barak's fear and indecision. Barak did not really believe that his 10,000 troops could fight against the huge Canaanite army and the 900 iron chariots. The situation was like going to fight on horseback with spears and swords, while the enemy attacked you with planes and cannons. There was no chance to win, and it's going to be a sure loss. That's why he asked the lady judge to go with him to fight together, because Barak believed that God would be with this lady judge. And in that case, God will protect the lady judge of Deborah and therefore protect him as well. Barak wanted Deborah to be his protective talisman for fighting because he had no confidence to win the battle. How did Deborah respond? Deborah was very brave and decisive. She immediately agreed to Barak's request and was willing to follow him to fight to the battlefield to fight and kill the enemy. But at the same time, she pointed out, actually she declared, that even if Barak could wipe out the whole Canaanite army, he could not receive any glory from God because the Lord has chosen to pass the highest glory of killing Sisera to a woman called Jael, the wife of Heber. And from this incident, we can see that Deborah was very different from Barak. Deborah's bravery and decisiveness was in sharp contrast to Barak's timid character. Why were they so different? From the human's perspective, Barak was the frontline marshal. He should be the one who would bravely went out to kill the enemy. Whereas Deborah was just a prophetess who usually sat under the palm tree to make decisions for the Israelites. She was just a timid woman. How could she have gone into the battlefield without fear? What was it that caused the reversal of the two roles between Deborah and Barak? It was their vision. The two of them wear or put on different lenses when they went into this war. How they saw and understood the war determined their action, their status in the war, and of course, their outcomes. Deborah wore a pair of perspective lenses to see the world from the vantage point of God, so that she could understand God's will. In this war, what she saw was not an ordinary battle between man and man, but was a holy battle between God and man. And this holy battle was initiated and led by Jehovah God. It was God who told Deborah to order Barak to fight against the Canaanite army, because it was a holy battle. Initiated by God, Deborah knew that God would definitely fight this tough battle for the Israelites, so that Deborah could firmly said to Barak, saying, "Today is the day the Lord delivered Sisera into your hand." And she also said, "Hasn't the Lord gone before you?" And indeed, God truly walked in front of the Israelite army, causing the whole army of Sisera and the 900 iron chariots to collapse for no reason. And the entire army fell by the sword of Barak. But on the contrary, although Barak was a powerful and experienced marshal, because he did not wear these perspective lenses from God, he could only look at things from his human perspective, with his human eyes. What he saw was only the actual situation in front of him. The 10,000 Israelite troops against the huge Canaanite army assembled by Sisera and the 900 iron chariots. In Barak's eyes, this was like a mantis blocking a chariot with its arms, and he had no chance to win. So he was reluctant and timid. In the end, Deborah had to accompany him before he was willing to fight. And the result was, sure, the battle was won, but as Deborah foretold, the highest honor of slaying Sisera fell into the hands of a lowly woman, Jael. Deborah and Barak's action in this war and the final outcome was very different because they wore different perspective lenses. Deborah's perspective lenses were very different from the secular people because they allowed the persons who wore them to see what was happening around them from the perspective of God. And we must wear this pair of perspective lenses in order to understand God's will, because the God that we trust is very often an awesome God who always makes people's jaw drop. His ways of doing things is so surprising and beyond our comprehension. Just like choosing judges, he raised up Deborah, but did not choose Barak, a very popular martial guy. When Barak saw Sisera's army and the 900 iron chariots as an incomparable giant, God saw them as nothing, and there's no need to fight because God could simply destroy all these giants with the slight movement of his fingers. The almighty power of Jehovah God is beyond our human imagination. We cannot fathom or measure it. We can only obey and follow. Otherwise, we will become like Barak, missing good opportunities, or worse still, making mistakes and falling into the worldly traps. At this point, some of you may want to ask, "Hey Irene, we all understand what you are saying, and we all want to wear this pair of perspective lenses every day. But this particular lens is likely to be worn only by those who are spiritual. God's thoughts are sometimes so profound. How can we ordinary believers would be able to understand them?" Brothers and sisters, please allow me to boldly say, every one of us, whether you are here in person or those online, every one of us who have already accepted Christ as our Savior have already put on this pair of perspective lenses. Because our visions has now been expanded beyond this material world to the spiritual world, and we know that there is a spiritual world going on there concurrently along with this material world. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit already dwells in us and empowering us and allowing us, having the channel for us to understand God's will. And therefore, each one of us who believes in Christ has put on this perspective lenses. But the key is whether or not the prescription of these lenses is accurate, so that we can clearly see and grasp God's will. Just like we need to adjust or to check the prescription of our eyeglasses every year. Do you really check the prescription of your eyeglasses every year? Yeah, some said yes, some said no. For me, yes. I have to check the prescription every year. Getting old, okay. And this pair of perspective lenses also requires to constantly adjust the prescription so that we can not only see what's going on around us, but also see the true status of all these matters in the eyes of God. The problem or the issue is, how are we going to adjust the prescription of these lenses? It is to seek the Word of God and understand the truth of the Bible. Every time when we read the Bible and every time when we do Bible study, we are actually polishing our perspective lenses, because this pair of lenses is easily polluted or blurred by the secular world, by their trends, causing our lenses to be blurry and out of focus. For example, as students, we are bogged down with our studies, especially feeling swamped when papers are due or examinations are just around the corner, like in past month. To make time for our studies, it is easy for us to willingly sacrifice our devotion time. We may even opt to skip Sunday morning service, thinking that missing a few days of spiritual connection with God or our church friends should not amount to much. But beware, in doing so, we may be getting all A's in our study, but we are slowly cultivating the mentality that studying or meditating the Bible is unimportant. Even worship is just an event that can be skipped. Slowly, our relationship with God will erode. And the danger is, eventually, we will automatically rely on ourselves, on our own method or strength, to handle any problems or challenges that will pop up in our life, instead of relying on God for His ways and follow His teaching. Hence, reading the Bible regularly is in essence to use the truth of God to adjust the clarity of the perspective lenses, so that we can see clearly the actual situation of the matters in the eyes of God, in order to have the spiritual discernment to make the right choice. Just like when we wipe our eyeglasses with a piece of cloth every morning, the lenses will become clean and clear after polishing. And regular reading of the Bible means that monthly Bible study in the fellowship may not be enough. We need to have daily devotion or at least one Bible study every week in order to dig deeper into God's words. So I encourage all of you to go to Sunday school. And I know that you have a very good Sunday school right after the worship service. I encourage all of you to go there. Enjoy God's words. Because studying Bible just by yourself may be difficult, especially when we study the Old Testament stories. It's good for a group together to study the Bible. So here, let's ask ourselves, is the prescription of the perspective lenses that we are wearing now accurate? Can they allow us to see the spiritual aspect and the true status of things in God's eyes? What can we do now to strengthen our spiritual discernment? Now, some brothers and sisters may feel that, having been a believer for so many years, how can we not know God's will and God's thinking? Perhaps the question is not whether we know it or not, but whether we always remember to put on this pair of perspective lenses to live our daily life. This pair of lenses is indeed placed right in front of us. But in some cases, we just forget to put it on. For example, when a couple quarrel, or when we are being ridiculed by others in public, or when we are betrayed by friends, or when the doctor tells us there's a tumor in our body. In all these difficult situations, we often automatically use our intuition and emotions to deal with the challenges at hand. We will fight back and protect ourselves, but forget to put on our perspective lenses to deal with the situation and ask ourselves, how would God see these matters? We often say, in crisis, we should stop, think, and ask ourselves four-letter word. Do you know what four-letter word is? Yes, Ashley? Yes, yeah, it's this four-letter word to remember, WWJD. What would Jesus do? The idea of asking this question is to give ourselves a chance to put on the perspective lens to reevaluate the matter and see the actual situation in the eyes of God. When we remember to put on these lenses, we can see the disputes that have nothing to do with truth, although we may think that it's so important for us to fight, to win the fight. But in the eyes of God, they are just some secular, foolish anti-talks. When we remember to put on these lenses, we will remember that Jesus was also verbally challenged by the scribes and priests, and even betrayed by his closest disciples. But in the end, Lord Jesus was the one who gained the ultimate victory. With this pair of perspective lenses, we can see that our physical illness may be God asking us to seriously stop and think about the meaning of life. So with this pair of lens, we will see that there are more than one way out, because of, in addition to the worldly perspective, there is also a higher level in God. When we remember to put on this lens in our daily living, we can see or we can look at the daily challenges with a more positive attitude, allowing us to see how God's hand protects us in adversity. Just in the past January, I went back to Hong Kong to visit my mom. 7 days after I landed in Hong Kong, I was tested positive with COVID. Before I had any opportunity to go out for dim sum with my mom, I was already done and such a failure. And even worse, it was most probably because of me that my mom got infected as well. This could have been a very worrisome and unhappy incident because my mom is in her 90s, the high-risk group. It would be disastrous if something more serious happened. However, my mom and I were very grateful during the time of infection. In addition to the six-star medical service provided by the Hong Kong government, such as arranging consultation time for us and also like a point-to-point taxi service to bring my mom to see the doctor, they also couriered me the medication on the day of my online consultation so that we can take those special medication as soon as possible. And most important is all this service is free of charge. We didn't have to pay anything. But more important is, we were locked down at home and I had lots of time to be with my mom. And since we didn't have any serious symptoms, just a cough here and there, we still had the energy and the mood to play board games, to watch TV together. So the quarantine time was just like a holiday, relaxed and free. And we were very thankful that after taking the medication, both of us were fully recovered. And furthermore, during the pandemic, during the lockdown period, I had ample time to finish, to complete the 5 essays requested by the ordination committee. Before the incident, I was so much worried about how could I squeeze time to finish those essays. But you know what? God had already arranged everything for me. He made me ill, but it was only a mild illness, so that I can finish all those essays in time. I'm not sure if all of you can see. I can choose to see what happened to my mom and me as a bad thing, a big disaster. To tell you the truth, during the 3 years of pandemic here in Canada, I often visited hospitals, nursing homes, funeral homes, very frequent, but never tested positive. However, as soon as I landed in Hong Kong, I was infected. And as a result, I had to quarantine myself at home for half of my 1 month vacation. But I thank God for putting on this pair of perspective lenses for me so that I could not only see how God's grace protected me and my mom in this dangerous situation, but also gave me this positive attitude to see this incident as a blessing in disguise. And I hope everyone here, online as well, can see through my personal experience. Wearing these perspective lenses in our daily life will help us to have a very different life experience. It will allow us to walk through the storms of life with gratitude and joy, so that we can still see grace in adversity and receive peace in calamity. And these lenses allow us to better understand the reality of God's promises to us. Even if we experience fire and water, there's no need for us to fear. The water won't drown us, and the fire won't harm us, because God is with us. God sees us as precious and honored, and He's not going to forsake us. But oftentimes, we don't feel God's love for us because we forget to put on these perspective lenses. Therefore, please remember to put it on in your everyday life. Not only do we wear this pair of perspective lenses at a personal level, we also need to wear them for the church life. Our church theme this year is Rediscovering God's Grace. If we don't wear this pair of perspective lenses, we may not be able to see God's grace is manifested in the church, because we will understand what's happening in the church from a human perspective. It is like wearing an ordinary pair of glass to watch a 3D movie. Has any one of you tried this? Yes. How do you feel? Yeah. With an ordinary glass to see a 3D movie, you will miss so much. It's a waste of your time and also a waste of the movie to do that, because you will not experience the thrill of the 3D movie. Similarly, if we want to find God's grace in church, to regain our identity as God's Grace Church, and to see our role in God's great plan, we must put on this pair of perspective lenses. Only with this lens can we see a crisis in church is actually a hidden opportunity, that there's still love revealed in the midst of disputes or sorrows, and that there is still lively hope in the midst of setbacks. So remember, put on these perspective lenses wherever you go, at church, at home, or even at work. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this time to share with us and to tell us that you have prepared for each one of us these perspective lenses. Help us to put it on every time, especially when we are in crisis, when we are encountering challenges. Help us to remember we need to look from your perspective, not our thinking. Lord, help us to be a person that is pleasing in your eyes. And in that, we can only put on this perspective lens so that what we do, what we say, is pleasing in your eyes. We thank you for this, and we ask all this in your name. Amen.
Hello. Oh, yes.